September the 30th, you folks are listening to WVEWLP 107.7 FM Brattleboro Community Radio. You are listening to an anniversary edition of This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken.
And I'm Becca.
Happy anniversary!
Are you sure it's our anniversary
it
this time?
It is our anniversary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gays and straights, everybody. This is our 50th show. It's our 50th show. That's very exciting.
That is exciting.
Let's go back to the beginning. So at the beginning, I put out a little ad.
A little tiny ad.
One crazy lady responded.
Yeah.
She was
annoying
me. And
then you responded to me.
And then, no, that wasn't you. And then you responded. And I said, well, she's not the crazy lady, so I'll take her.
Thanks.
And then you fabricated some story about some cat scratching you.
Dude.
And, oh, I had to go to the...
I came
ER.
With a hospital bracelet on our first day.
And then what were you thinking? So then, and then we sat outside the station for a few minutes, and then we did a show.
Yeah, that's
what,
about
what
it.
What do you remember thinking? It's our 50th anniversary. We have to look back.
Radio sure beats rabies.
It should have been our tagline. Remember, we had a tagline contest.
We did have a tagline contest.
Carrie won our tagline contest.
Yes.
Congratulations again, Carrie. I hope that at the end of each show, when we say, remember, why be gay when you can be so gay, you put together that that's your tagline and you swell with pride each and every time. Because we had all these other ones. Do you remember the other ones? The best one?
Gay you later.
Gay you later. Gay you later, alligator.
Oh.
And gay bye.
Does Andrew still hate those?
He hates them. He hates them. I'm not allowed to mention them. So, Rebecca.
Yes, Ken.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary to you.
Now, a story that just was forwarded to me.
Is it an anniversary story, Ken?
Well, it has to do with .com, which our show is thishowisogay.com.
Okay.
And our loyal listener...
This is like a loose connection.
No, it's a good connection.
Okay.
Our loyal listener, Kristen, forwarded us this story. Have you heard about this? That there's a group of people, a new organization that's out there that's trying to add a new suffix, except I'm sure it's called something more technical, and I actually know that it is. Instead of .com or .net, they want to add .gay. This is the new thing.
You can
join the Facebook group for it. It's called...
No, what they should do is do the dot porn so that we can separate out all the porn.
Because
we could open up a whole ton of addresses if we just into your own little world there.
It's called the Dot Gay Alliance, and you can go to dotgayalliance.com. It's D-O-T, spell out, dotgayalliance.com. And I was reading their FAQ, and of course, because it was forwarded to me, I immediately joined the Facebook group, because I don't think about things. I just join. And then I started thinking about it, and I'm not so into it anymore. So
I don't know how I feel about that,
well,
Ken.
The idea is that people are able to register for Dot Gay, and then they would give... I'm not really sure how the oversight works, but 51% of all the money that they raise to organizations that advance LGBT rights. And one of the questions actually
was... As decided by who?
Well, that I don't understand. So that's... I don't really see that on their FAQ.
I mean, some people would consider, you know, converting the gays to heterosexuality would be helping the gays.
Which organizations will receive the money? And this is their quote. At this early point in the process, there are many ways to go. We could align with a philanthropic organization that already has a review process in place and ask them to do our screening to determine which organizations are most deserving of funds. Another alternative is to give a certain percentage to 10 or so organizations whose work we admire. Okay, so yeah, this is, I don't even know who we is in this one. So I, and one of the questions
and
actually,
you just signed on the dotted line,
I need
huh?
to actually not become a fan of that group. I just immediately become a fan. I'm a fan. So I don't know. But one of the questions was why gay and not LGBT? And they say, great question. We've been discussing that idea since we first started talking about this. We settled on .gay for several reasons. It is a short three-letter word, which means it's well-suited to the internet naming conventions. It's internationally recognized, and gay is more widely searched than LGBT. I guess my fear is, so the idea is if you have a gay, we would be this show is so gay .gay. Isn't that kind of just like segregating all the LGBT organizations into
easily
one
blockable?
Place? Oh, easily blockable. That's bad. That's bad. We need to write to these people and say, what about that? Because yeah. Then what if, like, GLSEN and all
I'm
these
nodding
other organizations,
at you like people no, can you, hear that.
Yes. Not audibly.
Yeah. The rattling of the screws that are loose.
That is such
yeah.
a great point. All right. So we're going to write to these people. And we're going to say that we talked about them on the air. And then hopefully they'll call in and...
Well, they certainly aren't going to become friends with our Facebook group.
Not so much. So we have a special show for you tonight. It is our 50th anniversary. It's very exciting.
Yeah. Is that your gold anniversary or your silver?
It's your lavender.
Lavender?
For us, it's the
really?
Lavender. Yeah. 100 is a rainbow.
Oh.
And 150 is a gay marriage. We just get married.
You just is that still happened. Considered a gay marriage?
150?
I'm pretty sure that counts as polygamy.
Whatever. You and I just get married on the 150th. Can we just commit to that's what we're going to do on the 150th show?
All right, sure.
Okay. So we're going to play all of our music tonight is from performers who will be playing at the Notes for Life benefit concert.
Well, what is this? What is this Notes for Life benefit concert?
And it's not notesforlife.gay, folks. It's notesforlife.net. And this is the big benefit concert that we are throwing on October 10th. We really, really hope that you buy tickets. This is one of the artists playing. This is Winter Pills.
I can't add sad motel. In my mind, I'm trying to find a place where we both fell.
Very cool. That is Winter Pills singing a song called Hide Me off of their album The Light Divides. And Winter Pills is the middle band who will be playing at Notes for Life on October 10th. Please, 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 if you can't make it, I know we have tons of people listening, please sponsor a ticket. I cannot begin to tell you how much that would help all the efforts that we're putting into this event. So you just go to notesforlife.net and it actually gives you instructions on if you can't make it, how to sponsor a ticket. Story came out actually just a few hours ago. Rebecca, by the way, happy 50th.
Happy 50th.
I'll just say that during each segment of the show. Gay characters are more common than ever on broadcast TV, with representation making gains over last year's all-time high. According to the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation's 14th annual survey, take a guess, Rebecca, how many LGBT regular series characters will appear on broadcast this season? How many characters on all of the shows? And there are...
how many channels?
There's a lot of channels. I mean, I think they're just talking about the broadcast ones. So I think they're... I don't think cable counts in broadcast. I think that's the very definition. So ABC,
but they
NBC,
don't really
CBS,
do broadcast
Fox,
anymore.
WB, CW. I mean, that's like six channels right there. So how many gay characters?
Five.
18.
Ooh.
See, it's more. Representing, this is the fun part, and I guess could do the math. Representing what percent of all of the characters on TV?
Five.
Three. Oh. We're supposed to rejoice in this. Now, apparently we're supposed to rejoice in this. And the quote from GLAAD President Jarrett Barrios, quote, last year's looked like it might be a blip, but the spike seems to be a sustained trend in increased number of gay characters in recurring roles. It's a critical way towards changing the hearts and minds of America. Which network do you think leads the pack with the most number of gay characters?
What are my options?
NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, WB, and CW. Oh, no, wait. I don't think they have WB anymore. CW, and do they still have UPN? I don't know.
Dude, I don't know.
Well, it's ABC.
Oh, yes. I was almost going to say that because it was one I could remember.
And Fox has four, and apparently 2 years ago, Fox had none. The CW has two, and one of the networks has none. CBS. CBS has no gay characters out of 132 series regulars.
But what series do they have?
They have all of those CSIs. So I think
there
there's
aren't
like,
any gay
no.
crime scene
and there
investigators.
And there are like 14 of those CSI shows. There's CSI, CSI New York, CSI Brattleboro, CSI The Hamptons.
CSI New Jersey.
CSI New Jersey.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. CSI Amsterdam. So those are all out there and no gay characters in any of those places.
How is that even possible?
Apparently it's possible. Now here's more fun facts about our 18.
That's not an accident.
No, it's not. You actually have to...
I mean, you have if to you work have that many CSIs, How do you come up with different characters? I mean, they're really not that
you really well. I think even the larger point is if you have absolutely no gay characters on your network,
then
you,
where's the drama?
Well, where's the drama? And you had to actually put in some effort to do that. That can't just happen. So keep going on
but
with this.
How do they do with diversity of any other category?
I don't know. That's not part of the survey. We don't know. Oh. But let me. Can I break it down even more?
Okay.
Of the 18, the vast majority are men or women.
Men.
Of course. The vast majority of is men. How many of the 18 are lesbians?
Three.
One.
One?
With two other female characters playing bisexuals. And how many are trans?
So that was kind of three.
No, not really.
I was almost right-ish.
This is the
they
week.
Were women.
The week after Celebrate Bisexuality Day, you're just putting bisexuals and
no,
lesbians.
No, I'm saying women
Rebecca.
As opposed to men.
And how many characters are transgender?
None.
Not good. And especially, and I'm connecting these two stories, and I think these two stories are connected, even though it wasn't my original intent to connect them. But violence against the transgender community is only getting worse. And this came off one of the news sites, and I'll read a little bit. Nearly a month has passed since the August 26th murder of Tylea Mack, a 21-year-old transgender woman in Washington, D.C., but the violent crime remains on the top of the minds of transgender advocates nationwide. In its wake, many are left wondering whether crimes like this one are given the sort of national media attention they should.
No.
And the answer, I think, is pretty much no. The latest and most reliable statistics on anti-LGBT violence reveal that it is still a major factor facing the transgender community. According to a 2008 report from the National Coalition of Anti-Violence Programs, anti-transgender bias is reported crimes as holding steady. In fact, it has increased 12% over the previous year. The murder rate for LGBT Americans as a whole stands at the highest it has been since 1999.
Can you repeat that?
The murder rate for LGBT Americans as a whole stands at the highest it has been since 1999. When asked why the rate of violence has continued to surge, Sharon Staple, who is the executive director of the organization that I just spoke about.
Wait, do we have an idea of since 99, did it go down and then come back up? Has it been a little wavy?
I think it's been
a
little wavy.
Has it
been
a steady climb? What?
Well, the executive director.
Well, it couldn't be a steady climb.
No.
So
I think it's jumped around a bit, but it's still now it's at the highest it's been since the year after Matthew Shepard was murdered.
Was it on a decline for a while? Like, I don't even really have a good idea of.
It probably stayed pretty steady. Well, the executive director of this.
Come on, don't you have a PhD in
I
this kind of
know,
stuff,
not
man?
This, no, school bullying. I can tell you about school bullying, but not about this kind of violence that they're referring to. The executive director of the National Coalition of Anti-Violence Programs, quote, "We have set up a culture that explicitly sanctions violence against LGBT people. When we have a federal government that says it's okay to discriminate against people because of sexual orientation or gender identity, we shouldn't be surprised when violence occurs because there is no protection against it." And what Rebecca and I would like to add to that is when you have a culture that has absolutely no transgender, none, zero,
zero, zilch, none
transgender characters on network TV, that's not helping. It's just not helping.
It's not helping.
Nope. Let's play more music. Now we're in a funk. Hey, happy 50th.
Yay. Wow, that was like horribly depressing.
Sorry.
Followed by a half-hearted yay.
Yay. All right, let's play. We are now going to play a song from Kate Pizzakis, who is the opening act.
For some event that's
for
the
10th,
I think.
Huge event, Notes for Life, that I hope you all can make it to. So here is a song by Kate Pizzakis.
Just pacify their egos. strips my confidence.
Was Kate Pazakis. Pretty good.
Pretty darn good.
Oh, she's so great. You know what she's doing right this second?
What is she doing right now?
Right this second, and I actually know this for a fact, she's rehearsing for Notes for Life. She's rehearsing from 8 to 10 tonight so she can provide a killer show. The audience
is that her Facebook status?
No, I called her and asked if she could perhaps call into our show because our guest was unable to make it, so I asked Kate if she could maybe call in. And her manager said, well, she could, but then she wouldn't be rehearsing for Notes for Life. And so I prioritized and said, okay, why doesn't she keep rehearsing? That's fine. That's fine. We want a really good show.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill Clinton changed some stances this week. Did you read about this? Did
no.
you hear about this?
Where have I been this week?
Where have you been this week?
Well,
you've been partying hard because you're like, oh my God, it's our 50th show. I need to just party until I'm oblivious.
How often is it our 50th show, Ken?
I mean, it's just not that often at all. Don't break the mic over there on our 50th show. There are a lot of people
break the mic.
Who would be very angry. So, in his most exhaustive comments to date on gay marriage, former President Bill Clinton says his position on the issue was wrong. He is saying it was wrong. Quote, I had all these gay couple friends, and I was hung up about it, and I decided I was wrong. As president, Clinton signed the 1996 Defense of Marriage Act. Boo. I should use a different hand to point to you for a sound effect on that one, which is the...
Leave, you wanted me to...
No, I didn't. Oh, see, I think you...
What is wrong with the...
There you go.
Hi.
Hi, welcome back.
Thank you.
Happy 50th.
Happy 50th.
We're leaving
to
that
you.
In. I'm not editing that out. I don't do that anymore.
Equipment troubles.
I don't do that anymore. People want a raw show.
Donate to WVEW.
Yes. Actually, we should always say that. We haven't talked about community radio in a while. This is a community radio station. It is supported by its members. It is supported by its listeners.
And sometimes I look at the mic and it tries to fall over.
Yes. And we're very fortunate in that we have a listener base that is actually, I think, largely outside of Brattleboro. So if you want to support community radio, you should look up what community radio stations are in your area and support your community radio stations. If you want to support WVEW, stroll on over to WVEW.org, and there's a button right there to donate. Anyway, back to President Clinton, who I'm sure is a huge supporter of both our show and community radio.
I think he said that in the press conference.
He did. No? He's right after he signed DOMA into law. So Clinton said, he said in May that he was, quote, evolving on his position on gay marriage. And then in July, as he addressed the campus national conference in Washington, D.C., he expanded a bit by saying, I'm basically in support of gay marriage. And then he talked to, what's that gay guy? Anderson Cooper the other day on CNN, and he said even more that he's for it.
Haven't you ever noticed that people start out kind of insignificant on the politics thing, and then they're all, oh, I support gay rights. And then all of a sudden they become significant, and they're like, well, I'm not quite so sure about that. And then as they're fading back into obscurity, all of a sudden they're like, wait, I was wrong about this.
Yes, but
this
usually...
This is a pattern.
Well, but I think usually the pattern is...
It's like okay to be edgy when you're not...
Well, but
we're edgy.
I would think that, what'd you say?
I said, I guess we're just edgy.
Yeah, we're just edgy. I think the pattern, though, for a lot of people is as they're fading out, they tend to say things like gay marriage bad, and then that wins them back their base. It's usually not so much to win a base by saying, at this point, gay marriage good, unless you have a website that's like this show is so gay.gay. I'm just seeing how that sounds. It doesn't really roll off the tongue.
Well, you already are part of the Facebook group.
I know. I really have to get off of that. I thought you would love this
So
story.
It's kind of like what happened with Bill Clinton, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm trying to reemerge.
He just jumped on that bandwagon and then thought about
it. I was already on that bandwagon. Get this. Canadian Blood Services is suing a man who admits he lied repeatedly about having sex with men when he donated blood. Kyle Freeman, the guy, is countersuing, arguing that the lifetime ban on gay men being blood donors is not scientifically valid and violates his constitutional right to equal treatment regardless of sexual orientation. At the heart of Canadian Blood Services' claim is whether a blood donor has a duty to tell the truth about his personal and sexual history, whether or not he thinks the questions are unnecessary or even discriminatory. The court needs to decide if Freeman's rights were violated, and if so, whether that's a defense for negligent misrepresentation.
Oh, this is going to be
This is a big deal. Because as much as I've argued against having blood drives in their current... Now, again, I am not against giving blood. Let's make
Ken
this clear.
Ken wants to kill everyone who
I
needs
don't.
Blood transfusions.
I want everyone to live. So I want everyone to be able to give blood. But as long as I work at institutions that have a non-discrimination statement that says they will not allow discrimination based on sexual orientation, I have a problem with blood drives being on campus. I mean, I work on campuses, so I'm being very specific. If I worked in a business and that had a similar non-discrimination statement, I would say I have a problem with the blood drive being at this business. I think people should give blood. I just...
Have you started that conversation at the campuses you've worked at?
Oh, gosh, yes. Yes. No, previously. Sarah Lawrence still has a ban on blood drives. And I don't think that I'm solely responsible for that, but I played a big part in that. And Marlboro, you know, I don't... Marlboro's deal with blood drives is a little not articulated. Sarah Lawrence's is articulated. They actually say, we will not have blood drives on this campus. Marlboro, I don't think, has such a policy. It's just when it's come up. And there's signs on campus for blood drives off campus. But I don't know that they have an articulated statement against blood drives. And if I'm wrong about that, someone should call into the studio right now, 802-246-6107. Or just call us, 802. We haven't taken just listener calls in we're talking months
in
and
forever.
Months.
Forever.
So if you just want to talk and talk about blood drives or talk about gay characters on TV, this is the night to do it.
It sure is.
This is kind of like listener appreciation night that we had a while back.
Yeah, and that day our guest didn't call in either.
Exactly. 802-246-6107. Or if you just want to wish us a happy 50th and say that you enjoy the show or the show is the bane of your existence, but you can't help but listen every week. We would love to hear that, too.
That's all right.
That's all right.
We've been waiting for protesters. The warm weather passed and still no protesters.
Now it's time.
There's that horrible threat of weather tonight.
Yes. You're very upset that it might snow.
I'm so mad. It's September, Ken.
I know.
It's September.
I love it.
It's September.
Love it. Love it. I hope it snows. Don't give me that
Do you
look.
Know on the way in here I saw sand or salt or something
oh,
in the
really?
Intersections? What is that? It's September, Ken.
I know. This is the world we live in, Becca. Accept it and move on. You're gay. It's fine.
But this is not okay.
Accept it.
It's not okay.
We should
stand up against the injustice of it all.
We should close out the blood donation story in saying that I speak for myself. Not for my co-host, not for anyone who's listening. As much as I have a problem with blood drives on campuses that have, or any place that has non-discrimination statements, I do not endorse people lying. I do not endorse people lying, mostly because I don't think that's the way to create change.
Now, how far does your dedication to this cause go? I mean, if you were in a car accident and you needed blood, you're going to take the blood.
Oh, absolutely. And if I can find someone who will take my blood, again, for loyal listeners, they know this, or for family or people that know me, I have that blood type that's going to save all of you. But they won't take it.
I'll take
it.
Your blood,
yeah,
man.
No. I have no problem with people taking my blood. I have no problem with giving blood. I wish I could give blood. It's really upsetting to have that blood type that can save people and not be able to give it because essentially I'm told that my blood will kill people.
Yes.
That's not right.
Or make them sparkly.
But on the other side, I'm sorry. I'm not going to go. I'm very passionate about this issue. I'm not going to go and lie about it. I don't see how that's going to create change.
Yeah.
Would I lie to save a family member? You know, I'm sure there are situations, I guess,
now,
that I would lie.
Okay, what about kidneys?
See, you're losing your mic again.
Again.
There you are.
How are we doing?
Now we're good.
Okay, what about kidneys?
What
I
want
to know. I have no idea.
Do you need a kidney from me?
No.
Because I can't do that right now.
Okay, I know. You're very busy.
I have a concert in a week and a half. On October 11th,
I'm just wondering
I will give you a kidney. What'd you do to your
kidneys? The same rules apply. You know, I was partying. I was so excited. I have no idea.
That's your liver.
I did nothing. Yeah.
That's your liver.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we play another song?
Oh, please.
This is another song by Kate Pizakis. Now, keep in mind, neither of these songs are actually by Kate Pizakis.
She's
just singing them. The first song was off of a Paula Cole album, and I think everybody will know who originally sang this next song.
It was Ken.
It was not Ken. Oh, my God, I wish. You'll know pretty instantly. Here we go.
But I'm healthy, yeah. I'm high, but I'm grounded. I'm sane, but I'm overwhelmed. I'm lost, but I'm hopeful, baby. And what it all comes down to is that everything's gonna be fine, fine, fine. I've got one hand in my pocket and the other one is giving a high five.
but I'm sober. I'm young and I'm underpaid. I'm tired, but I'm working, yeah. I care, but I'm restless. I'm here, but I'm really gone. I'm wrong and I'm sorry, baby. And what it all comes down to is that everything's gonna be quite alright. 'Cause I've got one hand in my pocket and the other one is flicking a cigarette.
That's Miss Kate Pizzakis singing in Notes for Life. She's going to be amazing. I can't wait. I cannot wait to see her sing and to introduce her. I'm thrilled. Do you want the happy story or the sad story?
Happy story.
But you're going to get both stories. So
okay,
which do you want
sad
first?
Sad story first.
I just want you to make an educated decision on this one.
Okay. I want to leave here happy.
Okay.
Can you
I need
work
to do
on
some
that?
Serious restructuring of my stories then.
Okay.
So one of the big stories out there right now is just incredibly sad, but it really, as the quote says, the court's decision paints a tragically stark picture of how vulnerable same-sex couples and their families really are during a time of crisis. So know that this is not going to be good. The United States District Court for the Southern District of Florida today, and that actually was today on Wednesday, our 50th show day.
Because they know. They
it
know
always
when
happens
we're on
Wednesday.
Air.
The Southern District of Florida today rejected Lambda Legal's lawsuit filed against Jackson Memorial Hospital on behalf of Janice Langbin, the estate of Lisa Pond and their three adopted children, who were kept apart by hospital staff for 8 hours as Lisa slipped into a coma and died. While on a family cruise leaving from Miami, Lisa Pond, a healthy 39-year-old, suddenly collapsed. She was rushed to the hospital with her partner Janice and three children close behind. The hospital refused to accept information from Janice about her partner's medical history. Janice was informed that she was in an anti-gay city and state, and she could expect to receive no information or acknowledgement as Lisa's partner or family.
And she had legal documentation.
Totally. Totally. A doctor finally spoke with Janice, telling her that there was no chance of recovery other than 1 5-minute visit that was arranged by a Catholic priest at Janice's request to perform last rites. And despite the doctor's acknowledgement that no medical reason existed to prevent visitation, neither Janice, who provided, as Becca just said, provided the hospital with a medical power of attorney document, nor their children were allowed to see Lisa until nearly 8 hours after their arrival. How? And so the quote, to say again, This is from Beth Luttrell, the staff attorney in Lambda Legal's Southern Regional Office. Quote, the court's decision paints a tragically stark picture of how vulnerable same-sex couples and their families really are during a time of crisis. We hope that because of Janice's courage to seek justice for her family in this case, that more people better understand the costs of anti-gay. Ooh, I'm getting a little teary. The costs of anti-gay discrimination. This should never happen to anyone. That's part of the quote, but it's also a quote from Ken and Becca. That's nuts.
I heard a long interview.
That's nuts.
And it was a hard interview. It was. It was a hard interview.
I mean, that is...
Well, she was kept in the waiting room. She asked every 2 minutes, basically, to see her partner, and they wouldn't let her go in. And her partner was alone for a lot of that time.
Rawr.
Which is...
Rawr.
Yep.
And the happy news.
I thought I said I wanted to leave here happy.
Yeah.
Or at least let me leave here fired up and ready to do something.
Hey, gay couples... They're as fit to adopt as heterosexuals, the study says.
Really?
Apparently.
They don't cause permanent damage?
We needed a study to tell us that gay or straight, the sexual orientation of adoptive parents does not have an impact on the emotional development of their children. Researchers said that if parents were satisfied with the adoption process, well, that's interesting. Researchers said, and I guess I'm going to personalize this in a second, researchers said that if parents were satisfied with the adoption process, had a stable income, and functioned well as a family, the risk of emotional problems in children were reduced. The quote from Paige Evert, the assistant professor of social work at East Carolina University, quote, we found that sexual orientation of the adoptive parents was not a significant predictor of emotional problems. We did find, however, that age and pre-adoptive sexual abuse were, well, yes. That's
well, that would,
probably
yeah.
going to play into that. But, wow, I'm really struck by the piece where satisfaction with the adoption process.
How satisfied
am I right now? Yeah,
yeah.
Not very. Did we even talk about this last week? Did you see me on last Thursday? We didn't see each other for a few days.
No.
Last Thursday was a bad day.
I took off for the weekend.
So I don't know how folks could not know, but hey, first time listeners, my partner and I are, we've done all the paperwork and we're in the adoption process. And, we had what we believed to be a very strong possibility of a woman who had articulated that she only wanted to give her baby to a gay couple, and we're wow. the only gay couple that our agency has. So we were pretty excited, and she's somewhat local, so that was kind of cool. I mean, as in not 12 states away, which is what we had previously been encountering. And they showed her books of different couples and of only one gay couple, Ken and Andrew. She chose another couple. And
so she changed her mind.
Well, I don't know. I mean, this is the thing. Then this
or
is the piece about the adoption.
Or she saw the perfect
process.
Family.
Right. She saw, you never know. Oh, this looks like the couple I used to play with in the sandbox. Or this looks like some woman who helped me bag my groceries at the supermarket. Like, you never know.
Yeah.
You never, it could be,
or they
this
attend
looks
the
like
church
my, lawyer,
my grandmother
this,
attended
exactly.
or something.
It could
yeah.
be a million different things. This looks like, oh, that looks like Judge Judy. You know, you never know.
Judge.
I don't know. I don't know why. So my grandmother would pick, my grandmother loves Judge Judy.
Really?
Shout out to Alice.
Yay, Alice.
Because, you know, she listens.
And Judge Judy.
And Judge Judy, because, you know, she listens too. But, yeah. So, my satisfaction with the adoption process right now, not high.
So the agency told you guys.
Sent us an email because I had said, you know, can you please keep us in the loop? Even if you have no news, can you write us and say we have no news so that there's just not silence? Because the silence,
right.
it works
and
both
ways. And we should
ways.
Mention how long this process has been going on so
been
far.
Going on for a while. Well, I don't know. I don't know how you compare it to other processes.
No,
I still am not sure. For us, we've been in the process for 2 years.
Right.
We have not been with this agency for 2 years. We had a really terrible experience with our first agency where they gave us our home study twice saying that Christopher and Patty would make wonderful parents. And we agreed, but we actually wanted something that said something about Andrew and Kent and not Christopher and Patty. You never heard that story?
No.
Oh, yeah. So we switched agencies. So we've only been with this agency for, I would say, 9 months, 10 months. It's been longer than that because we had to redo the whole home study because we moved, because we bought a house. And
right.
So we keep having setbacks. And maybe when we get a baby, all of our dissatisfaction will magically disappear. But now I'm reading this.
A lot of people who do, you know, even straight couples who do international adoptions or try to do a domestic adoption that is not through the foster care system, because that's a whole separate process. It does take a long time.
Yeah, no, it takes a long time. It takes years. It's already taken years.
And no one really understands why.
No, you know what? I have to say, I'm just...
I mean, one's happy with that.
I was just talking to my cousin Jody right before I walked into the station, and I don't want to be too specific about our process, but there are certain things that you could do that increase your chances that are not financially, just certain boxes that you could check. And we checked all of those boxes. And all that means is that we would get calls, and we haven't yet, that would say, hey, do you want your profile shown to this? This is the situation we have. And we checked all of those boxes, and we're told right away, oh gosh, it's going to be very quick for you guys. And I guess maybe because when you say things like, well, how quick is quick? You can't get an answer, and I understand why you can't get an answer.
Right, because for you, it might be 1 week. For you, it might be a couple of years.
Well, I should say, we submitted
our... But they just never know who's going to come on. Yeah.
We submitted our paperwork, finished all of our paperwork, 11:30 on a Friday. This was eight months ago.
Yeah.
And at noon, got a call saying, you need to go down to Maryland and go pick up your baby. He was born a month ago. And 3 hours later, it had fallen through. So it's a roller coaster. It is not specific to gay couples, and I certainly would not say that it is. What is specific to gay couples is what to do with that book. That book. Did you ever see our book?
I have not seen your
book.
I've heard so much about your book.
Well, they gave us examples of other people's books to look at, and they gave us three different books, and one of the books was from a gay couple, and I hated it. Hated the book. All the books really irked us, and the whole process in a way irks
us. It's a weird thing.
It's like Match.com, or what is it? What's our
compatible partners?
Yes, it's like compatible partners. gay. It's a creepy process, and you have to sell yourself, and
you're selling yourself to be a parent, which is weird. Yeah. Which is weird. It's awkward and it's strange.
No,
how do you laminate that into a book?
Well, we did, but
I know you did, but it's
and
just...
we had to attend two all-day workshops that I know my brother and my sisters didn't have to attend all-day workshops, but that's fine, whatever. We'll jump through the hoops. We want a child, and much as we try, we can't seem to have one biologically just with the two of us. So we recognize that we need outside assistance to do this. Although, a side note, if you don't know that gay couples can't adopt internationally, why don't you know that? So everyone should know that, because we keep getting asked what country, and I just keep saying the U.S., because it's the only country that's legal. It's kind of like the blood drive thing. I get a little tired of educating. I just want people to know that, but they might not know that. So
tune in next week to Ken's show about kittens and puppies and how to raise them.
So anyway, back to the books. So the one example of the gay couple that they sent us, I hated it. I'm sure they're lovely, but their book was essentially, we're straight. We're just gay. And we're actually not straight, Andrew and I, and indeed we are gay. So our book is slightly irreverent. I mean, it's not sarcastic.
Is it snarky?
It's not snarky. It definitely has some attitude to it, not negative, but it has a lot of personality to it. It's in our own voices. You know, the other books have one page. Every book opened with their religion. Ours, I think, opened with our dachshund. Every book has one page that we affectionately call the We Have Black Friends page, which so do we, but they're integrated throughout. They're not relegated to one page.
The We Have Black Friends page?
Oh,
wait,
yeah.
What are you talking
about? As in,
Can you clarify, please? Absolutely.
All of the books would have a page that is essentially, we are diverse. We have friends of different races. And that is truly what the page is about. Because
is
the
there
likelihood
like a book about making these books?
There are tons of websites. Oh,
websites.
There are tons of websites. I don't know if there are any books, and clearly we're not the ones to write this book on how to make these books because we haven't gotten chosen. We know that whoever chooses us will definitely want to choose us because they really are getting us with that book. And maybe they are, these other couples are getting them too, but they had like bulleted lists of these are the things we can provide your child, like bullet, we can pay for their college education and all these things that we can do too, but it's just, we're not selling ourselves in that way.
It's not a retirement plan.
Yes. Like we can provide your child access to the mover. We can provide, you know, what are we can take your child to the co-op. So we can do things. It's just, we'd rather say this is who we are. This is who you are getting as parents.
It's a weird thing.
It's a weird thing?
It's a weird thing.
It's a totally bizarre thing. So hopefully we'll have an update soon. That's a really happy update. And I don't know. My biological clock is ticking a little bit.
Tick, tick.
It really is. I'm 32. I'll be 33 in a few months. I had said I wanted a child by the time I was 30, but that didn't, you know, that wasn't feasible.
That didn't add up.
And Andrew won't get a child by the time he's 30 because he's going to be 30.
Don't say it on the air. Will he kill you?
What? He'll be 30 on November 1st.
Oh.
No, that's fine. Andrew, I tried to stop. Oh, gosh, no, no. He's thrilled about turning 30, I hope. You got to help me. I had a gift idea and it's not working out so well. So if anyone has any gift ideas, send us an email at thisshowissogay.com.
Andrew set up a set up a miscellaneous.
Yeah, Andrew, you should set something up.
thisshowissogay@AOL.com.
So anyway, that's what's going on. That's my adoption update. But that related back to the story, I guess satisfaction with the adoption process and how you express that has a huge impact. So we need to be very, very careful at how we
I think a lot of that will go away.
I think so, too.
I think that it's still an awful process. I think it's still a painfully long process. Yeah. And there's no way to make that better.
It's got it. We could get a call tomorrow saying your baby was born a month ago. We could get a call saying your baby's due in 9 months.
Right.
We could not get a call at all.
For 3 months. And then they'll say your baby was born 2 months ago.
They have all the baby stuff. It's just sitting there in the basement. That my sister gave us all of a ton of baby stuff. So I tried to put it all away because it's just depressing walking in because you walk in into our house through the basement and it's depressing looking at it.
You're like a Boy Scout. Be prepared, you
yes,
know?
Yes. It's the first time anyone's ever said that to me, so we'll go with that. I don't know.
It's not the first time I've said that to you.
Yeah. So that's what's going on with us. Anything with you that you want to share with everybody? Any big gay news?
Big gay news. I saw West Side Story.
You did? That was big and gay?
Yeah.
How's the dating scene?
Oh, we live in Brattleboro.
Nothing.
Yeah.
You're busy, though.
I'm in school full time.
You're in school
full time. I'm working full time. I've got family out of state.
Family out of state.
What do you want from me, man?
Big gay radio show.
I got a radio show, yeah.
I want you to date so that your new partner has a new group of people to whom she can promote this show. That works for me, and I'm sure there are perks for you as
well.
You
just want to sell one more ticket to Notes
oh
for Life.
God, like you have no idea. Like you have no idea. Folks, seriously, not kidding about this. I will do a PSA for you. I will give you shout-outs on the air. Everybody who buys a ticket and wants a shout-out, just tell me. I'll give you a shout-out on the air. I am desperate, desperate, desperate to sell tickets because I really want to raise as much money as possible for the AIDS Project of Southern Vermont and the San Francisco AIDS Foundation. And I keep going back to what Jody, who co-hosted a few weeks back, said.
Blasphemy.
Going back to what Jody said a few weeks ago as we were talking about stories where they were cutting funding left and right for HIV, different HIV and AIDS organizations, that because of all these cuts, we're going to quickly be moving from prevention to treatment. And I don't want that to happen. And one of the ways that we can prevent that is to raise tons of money for these organizations.
Absolutely.
So please, 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 notesforlife.net. Hi. Wish us a happy 50th. It's our 50th show.
Is it really?
It is.
It is.
All right. Woo-hoo!
There we go. Look at that. You could just walk into the station and wish us a happy 50th,
That's
folks.
One way to do it.
That's it for us, folks. We're going to play you one more Winter Pill song. So that's going to play us out. Please, please, notesforlife.net. You can sponsor a ticket even if you can't make it to the concert. I truly, truly hope you can sponsor a ticket. We need your support. This is not one of those you hear it and like, oh, that's really nice that they're doing something. This is one of those that you hear it and we really need you to do something. So notesforlife.net, please, please go buy a ticket. I implore you. Get okay. out there. Do good things. Remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?
We'll break it down. We'll say.